This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good evening. This is Dr. Everett Piper sitting in for Tony Perkins this Friday evening. Honored to be with you on Washington Watch, where we discuss the news and views of not only Washington, D.C., but from coast to coast all across the nation. Obviously, Washington Watch is brought to you by the Family Research Council, and we are committed to discussing the news and views in the context of the gospel, a biblical worldview where we actually believe that commitment to Jesus Christ and his way and his truth and his life is the solution to the problem. It is not the problem. That actually a biblical worldview is something that our freedoms are grounded in, and that we have the liberties that we enjoy in the United States because of those self-evident truths that are endowed to us by our Creator. And the embracement of those truths are the very things that give us the freedoms we enjoy. It's the fences of the gospel, it's the fences of the biblical worldview, the self-evident revelation of God that actually gives us the freedom, to paraphrase G.K. Chesterton a bit. Got a great program for you today. Again, this is Everett Piper. I'm president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. The call-in number, as you remember, is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, and I will be taking calls in the last 15 minutes of the hour. The first story we want to cover tonight is the issue of the terrorist attacks that are replete in the United Kingdom and in Paris, France, over the last week or so. It seems that every time we turn on the TV or turn on the radio or perhaps turn on your laptop and Google the news, you see evidence of another Islamic attack. And someone that has been committed to protecting our nation is Congressman Clay Higgins. He represents the 3rd District of Louisiana and serves on the Homeland Security Committee. He's one of the newest members of Congress, and he was recently assigned to the Anti-Terrorism Task Force. Congressman Higgins has served in the United States Army, the Louisiana National Guard, and he's also been a military police officer and has multiple years of law enforcement experience. Welcome to Washington Watch, Congressman Higgins.
Thank you so much for that kind and generous introduction. So I'm humbled and honored to be on your show today.
Well, thanks for joining us. Sorry you have to put up with me rather than Tony. I know both of you hearken from Louisiana, so maybe you would have enjoyed his company a little bit more so than a good old Oki from Bartlesville here. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Well, listen, Tony has big shoes to fill, but you do just well, my friend, so don't ever doubt yourself.
Hey, thank you. Hey, I understand you had a trip to the southern border in April, and you got your big shoes, if you will, to fill. You got your boots on the ground, and you had an overview of the security on our border. What did you learn? Tell our listeners what you learned.
Well, it was part of a Homeland Security mission. We covered, just a handful of us, covered 1,954 miles of border in 4 days, by airplane, by helicopter, by boat, by four-wheel drive SUV, by horseback and on foot. And my mission there was to receive data firsthand and to observe from my own eyes what's going on the border along the four sectors of command and control. Our southern border, you can envision this, my friend. The southern side of our border with Mexico is completely 100% controlled by the cartels, the Mexican drug cartels that make billions of dollars in human trafficking and drug trafficking.
No evidence whatsoever of the Mexican government or the police or the Mexican military controlling that border. It's all cartel.
Well, there's a great deal of interaction, but you know, we can discuss the levels of interaction, and there's a sort of a cooperated control dependent upon the incident. But the bottom line is that nothing crosses the border from the south to the north that's illegal, be it drug trafficking or human trafficking, without the cartel being in control of that and getting payment. And they're very organized by family and by sector and by region, similar to what we would envision in America, the old mafia, where the, you know, areas were controlled and agreed upon, and sometimes there was bloodshed and there was conflict and there was the attempts to take over territory, et cetera. We understand that from our own history. You can envision that south of our border. You know, the Mexican side of our southern border is exactly like that. So there's not anything that crosses to the north without the cartel getting paid.
Okay.
So the northern side of the American side of that border is divided into four sectors of command and control. There's the there's the San Diego sector, the Tucson sector, the El Paso sector, and the South Texas sector. And there's different needs and demands in each sector. And this is determined by sort of the geography and the nature of the land itself and the soil itself. There's the layout of civilized, you know, the density of civilizations on either side of the border, and there's just the natural topography of the earth that determines what those guys really need in order to secure the border. And it's quite different from the Pacific to the Gulf is along these four sectors of command and control. My goal was to learn the reality and to separate that from the bureaucracy of what was actually needed to secure our border, because I'm all about securing the southern border. The wall takes many different definitions. It manifests itself in what's really needed by various definitions as you travel along those 1,954 miles.
All right, before we get into the wall.
What I learned, sir, was a great deal. I learned a great deal.
Before we get into the wall, and I want to go there, because I think that's very important, because for one thing, you've said that it takes on various definitions in terms of its construction and whether it's technology or whether it's bricks and mortar, et cetera, et cetera. So I want you to cover that with us. But you're part of the anti-terrorism task force, as I understand it, and you have been since February. And you've been down there looking at these various sectors of our southern border. You have been examining the pathways by which extremists might be able to infiltrate our homeland. And I assume you probably saw some strengths and weaknesses in the existing border and the wall, or the lack thereof. So tell us about the weaknesses that you saw or discovered, and then talk to us about what the wall can do to resolve those weaknesses.
My brother in Christ, listen to me good. Hear my spirit. Hear my heart. You can remove the word might from your vocabulary. Our southern border is certainly being targeted and penetrated by radicalized Islamic jihadist terrorists that their mission is to come into our nation, establish cells, radicalize other young men and women within America, and conduct terrorist attacks. You can remove the word might from or maybe or possibly, and all of your listeners should do the same. It's happening as we speak. It's happening now. That's right.
Okay.
We can either respond as a nation. You know, we can be realists, or you know, some of my friends that are, you know, to the left that I love and respect and would die for, and they love their country, but you can be confused about thinking that, you know, unicorn milk and rainbows is going to stop these guys, which you'd be confused.
All right, so you're being very clear that we are being infiltrated. It's not a might, it's not an if, it's not a when. It is happening now. The infiltration is taking place because of the porous nature of our borders and the weaknesses therein. Okay, what are those weaknesses? Identify them for us.
All right, along various portions of the border, I'm going to try to sort of crystallize this for your listeners. parts of the border, the San Diego sector is susceptible to tunneling because of the nature of the soil. The soil is composed of sort of compacted clay that is sufficient to sustain the structure of a tunnel without shoring, and because of the level of population on both sides of the border, you can have a complicit property owner on the southern side of the border with a large warehouse that would conceal the entry and the beginning of the construction of a tunnel, and you can have a complicit property owner on the northern side of the border, say with a large warehouse, that would conceal the exit or the completion of the tunnel, okay? That happens in the San Diego sector. Why? Because the soil and the population density on both sides of the border are conducive for that sort of penetration.
Did you see some of those tunnels?
So I went through one.
Really?
I went through one. Yeah,
and what is the
online somewhere?
And what's the United States doing about it? Nothing. What are we doing about this tunnel?
No. Listen, the Border Patrol guys are using. Man, these guys are unbelievably courageous patriots. They respond with all they've got, man, all their heart and all their soul, and whatever we provide them as a Congress and as a people, whatever we provide them regarding technology and equipment and manpower, trust me, these are cops, man. They're responding, okay?
So they're doing their job as much as we let them.
They are doing their job as much as they're capable of doing it. I'm just describing sort of the different needs. So okay. In the San Diego sector, what they need is dual layers of fencing. See, they need additional strengthened fencing with additional manpower, additional vehicles, and additional all-weather roads. They need the technology to detect tunneling, and they need aerial technology. Aerial technology comes in two forms. That's either drones, which work in other sectors of the border better. In San Diego, they're like dirigibles that float up 5,000 feet in the air, up to 5,000 feet in the air. They have advanced camera systems that allow the border control agents, to view well across the border, and they can detect a threat as it's coming. And they need the technology to detect tunnels. So moving east, as you would across the southern border, the soil changes, and bedrock is right at the surface. So nobody's tunneling through that.
Okay,
so
Congressman, I've got 30 seconds. So finish up here and summarize the problem for us.
Okay, the problem can be addressed and has been addressed in a large part by the initial budget that we have passed and are passing for fiscal year 18. We will give them the technology and the boots on the ground that they need to secure the border.
Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. You've given us a good overview, and we're so grateful for your candor and your service. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. I'm available to you at all times, sir. God bless you.
Blessings to you.
God bless your listeners and our beautiful nation.
Coming up next, we're going to discuss the James Comey testimony of this past couple days. And one congressman said, thank God Trump fired him, and that is Congressman Louie Gohmert, and he'll be joining us right after the break.
Imagine being threatened by the government for reading a magazine article. This is exactly what Don Vanderboon, owner of the West Michigan Beef Company, experienced when USDA inspectors threatened to shut down his operation because of reading material that they found in his company break room, which defended biblical marriage. Mr. Vanderboon's employees were well aware of the material and of the company's publicly stated Christian principles and had no objections. As we all know, religious liberty is an indelible thread woven into the fabric of America. Without it, the American experiment will fail. Yet time and time again, the freedom of Americans to believe and live out those beliefs has been attacked by government action. Now more than ever, our first freedom of religious liberty needs protection. Watch a special program hosted by FRC President Tony Perkins, where you'll hear from real people whose freedom to believe has been affected in real ways, including Mr. Vanderboon himself. Go to frc.org/believe to watch this special presentation.
Mommy, look, it says God on this dollar from your purse.
Wow, I'm impressed that you saw that. And did you see what it says about God?
In God we trust.
That's right. And guess what? It says in God we trust on every piece of American money.
Why?
Well, I guess it's because our nation was founded with God's help. And sometimes we need a reminder to trust Him.
The American Family Association invites you to help us make In God We Trust more than a slogan. Since 1977, the American Family Association has been a voice to remind America that the blessings of our nation have come from God's gracious hand. Request your free In God We Trust wristband today and order more to give away at afa.net/trustgod. That's afa.net/trustgod. Get 40 and help the American Family Association celebrate our 40th anniversary.
Now, what were you doing in my purse?
Uh-oh.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? 500 bucks. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Washington Watch this Friday evening. Again, this is Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, sitting in for Tony. Tony's on his way to Louisiana to take care of his family and pastor at his church, as he often does on the weekends when he has time, and I'm honored to pinch hit for him. The call-in number, as I've reminded you before, is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I will be taking calls at least for the last 15 minutes of the program, if not before. I'm going to give you an overview while we try to get a hold of the congressman here. We're still trying to get in contact with him via phone call. The topic I want to talk to the congressman about is the FBI Director James Comey's testimony before the Senate hearing yesterday. And you all know the story. I'll remind you of a couple of the pertinent details that I want the congressman to comment on. President Trump fired Comey last month, a move that prompted the appointment of a special counsel to oversee the investigation of the suspected Russian meddling in the presidential election. Point number two, Comey talked extensively about several private meetings he had with President Trump in the weeks before his dismissal. Point number three, Mr. Comey confirmed that he told President Trump that he, the president, was not under investigation in the Russian case, which includes allegations of collusion with Moscow and members of the Trump presidential campaign team. And then the next point, Mr. Comey also talked about a tweet from Mr. Trump suggesting there might be tapes of the meetings between the president and Mr. Comey. And his quote was curiously, "Lordy, I hope there are tapes," implying that somehow that tape would confirm his story. Marco Rubio has expressed concerns over the persistent leaks that have now been admitted to by Mr. Comey, and Marco Rubio actually said the only thing that Comey didn't leak was the truth. So some key questions we should be asking ourselves is, Comey said he asked a friend to leak the notes of the Flynn meeting where he and Donald Trump discussed General Flynn to a reporter. What in the world are we to think about a director of the FBI that is leaking information to the public to directly impact a special appointment, the appointment of a special counsel, to investigate this reported collusion between Russia and the president? In other words, the FBI director apparently is trying to push the media in a given direction. Not apparently, obviously so, because he's even admitted that the reason he leaked that was to encourage the appointment of this special counsel. We've got so many other questions that are in play right now, but I want to bring Congressman Gohmert on right now so that he can help us understand what his perspective of this particular hearing is, and more specifically, what his view of the former FBI director is with regard to his testimony and his acknowledgement of leaking this information. Congressman Gohmert, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much, Everett. It's so nice to be on with you as guest host. But, man, we have had quite a week, have we not?
You've had a crazy week. You're probably ready to hop on a plane and go someplace where it's more sane. But before you do help us make sense out of this.
I'm about to speak at Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference in Washington. So it worked out great. So I was delighted to be on the show with you guest hosting. But as far as the Comey hearing, you've been touching on it, but, I mean, for the head of the FBI to say that he was the leaker, and ever to say that, gee, I prepared this memo, it was my own personal property, and so I could send it over to anybody I wanted to, do you mind if I just read you a sentence from FBI employment agreement?
Please
it
do.
It says, and I'm quoting from the FBI employment agreement that everybody has to agree to be at the FBI, working at the FBI. It says, all information acquired by me in connection with my official duties with the FBI, which, as we know, he was talking to the president in his official duty as FBI director, but it says, and all official material to which I have access remain the property of the United States of America. It says, I will surrender upon demand by the FBI or upon my separation from the FBI all material. It's all with A-L-L, not A-W-L, but all material containing FBI information in my possession. Now, that includes memos that you prepare to refresh your recollection about things that occurred during your time at the FBI. So he violated his contract by keeping that memo, secreting it with him, because he had agreed to turn all such documents in. So he lied in his FBI employment agreement. He lied. It was a lie when he left and refused to turn those things in and tried to renegotiate his FBI contract by saying, no, now that I'm leaving, I'm disavowing what I swore to, agreed to, and signed. I'm taking this stuff with me because I may find a way that I can try to harm the President of the United States. And for him, and I do love the tweet that Ace of Spades sent out when he said, Comey, this is Comey is saying this, Comey, Lynch told me to lie, and I didn't write it down, but I wrote down Trump stuff because I was afraid he might lie. I mean, how insane for him to say he didn't make a memo after the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, told him to misrepresent what the FBI was doing. He knew it was an investigation, and she was trying to get him to lie about what he was doing.
Congressman?
Anytime somebody tries to get him to lie in his official capacity as FBI director, they've got problems.
And Congressman?
I think we need a special prosecutor to look at all this, about whether Lynch committed a crime, whether Comey committed a crime, but this is really serious stuff here.
Thank you, Congressman. I appreciate it. Sorry we had you on for such a short period of time. We need to learn more, and I'm sure you'll be back on.
Everett, I'm glad you're shining light on all of this. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you for joining us on Washington Watch. Coming up next, campus hysteria and higher education is the nightly news, and we're going to talk about Evergreen State College and their day of having no white people on campus. Be back right after this break.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, Donald Trump gets another win. I think America gets another win. I think the economy gets a win. And on top of all of that, it would appear as though there's a legislative process going on in Washington. How about that? Yeah, the House yesterday passed a bill that is gutting the Dodd-Frank rules governing Wall Street. And I don't know that it was governing Wall Street as much as it was penalizing community banks, credit unions, and other smaller financial institutions. As a matter of fact, I think it's pretty safe to assume that Dodd-Frank was dramatically hurting small businesses through small community banking. Not only was it hurting lending to small businesses from those community banks, but we've seen literally thousands of community banks closing the doors as a result of the cost associated with trying to meet the regulatory burden of Dodd-Frank. Well, that's over now. The Financial Choice Act, it's called, will allow banks to opt out of many regulations in Dodd-Frank if they hold enough capital. And it would also repeal the Volcker Rule, which, if you remembered, barred banks from speculative trading. I'm not a real big fan of repealing the Volcker Rule, but nonetheless, all of this is going to help smaller banks, and it is going to help the regulatory environment so the economy can continue to recover.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
And welcome back to Washington Watch. This is Dr. Everett Piper sitting in for Tony Perkins this Friday afternoon, evening. Again, I'm president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, a bold and unapologetic Christian institution that's committed to the primacy of Jesus Christ, the priority of Scripture, the pursuit of truth, and the practice of wisdom. We actually believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Bible is the Word of God, that truth is given by God, and that wisdom, sanctification, holiness, obedience should be practiced because it's demanded by God. I believe, as the president of a Christian institution, that truth should be the goal of the academic enterprise. I believe that when you enter into a college or a university as a student or as a professor, and in my case as a president, that the ultimate reason for this entire thing existing is because truth is the goal. Not power, not politics, not political correctness, but truth. Unfortunately, as I've discussed many times on this program and otherwise, and I'm sure as Tony and other of his guests have told you, and as you see nightly on the news, that is not the paradigms for so much of the educational establishment today. In fact, my book, Not a Daycare, is coming out in 3-4 weeks, published by Regnery, where I'm tackling this issue, and I'm suggesting that, my goodness, this is supposed to be a university. It is not a daycare, and we don't care about your comfort. We're not going to coddle you. We're actually going to confront you with a good idea, the right idea, the just idea. We're going to confront you with truth. With us right now is Representative Matt Manweller. He's from the state of Washington, and he's going to help us navigate the lunacy of Evergreen State College in Washington and the fact that they just had a day of absence, and that day included the mandatory absence of anybody who was white. Representative Manweller, thank you for joining us on Washington Watch.
Well, thanks for having me on, and looking forward to our conversation.
Well, I'm the guy who wrote the Not a Daycare piece about a year and a half ago that caught national attention when I challenged this nonsense this it's not the terrible twos any longer. It's the terrible 20s, where these 20-year-olds are pouting and throwing a temper tantrum if they don't like your ideas and if you don't like what you say or think. And now they're audacious enough to actually suggest that they'll do the same thing if they don't like the color of your skin. What in the world is going on at Evergreen State?
Yeah, well, I mean, Evergreen State is just one symptom of a broader, movement that we're watching, whether it be at Yale, where, you saw students confront professors screaming them about Halloween costumes, or riots on campus if you don't like the conservative speaker, or Middlebury, where you break a professor's arm if you don't like her introduction. I mean, Evergreen is just the last domino in a continuing saga where, kind of what you said at the opening is where truth has become relative. We don't teach science and math anymore. We teach the pseudoscience of social justice theory, and we're more concerned about microaggressions and trigger warnings and safe spaces than we are the marketplace of ideas. And I got to tell you, Doctor, I'm a professor as well as a legislator, and the two things are the little glimmer of hope for me is when the University of Chicago issued its paper saying that they weren't going to coddle to the safe spaces movement, and your letter where you said essentially the same thing. But other than that, most of these colleges and universities have gone down this path of let's teach indoctrination first and education second.
Okay, I've only got about 60 seconds left, but you have proposed a bill. You've drafted a bill to privatize Evergreen State College. You've got 60 seconds to explain to us why.
Right. I mean, if they want to go back to the Jim Crow era of segregated institutions, if they want to be an ideological indoctrination factory, then they should do it on their own dime. But taxpayers should not be obligated to be paying for the Bernie Sanders recruitment center. It's just not an appropriate use of public taxpayer money.
So you're basically saying I'm not going to use tax dollars to fund reverse racism. And I would even say it's not reverse racism. Racism is racism, regardless of whether you want to call it reverse or forward. You don't combat racism by being a racist. And you're saying we're not going to pay for it anymore. Bless you.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying.
Bless you. Are you getting any support from your colleagues in the legislature?
A ton. This is an embarrassing situation for Washington. I think Evergreen is going to suffer from the marketplace as much as politics. We saw what happened at the University of Missouri. Parents just quit sending their kids there, right? And I think parents all over the country are saying, why would I send my kid and pay tuition to go to that crazy place? And so I think they've got a concern about what I'm going to do in the legislature, but they're also concerned about what parents are going to do next fall when it comes enrollment time.
So you're actually seeing support, and I put that in context. I know when I wrote my Not a Daycare piece, the atheist, the agnostic, is the one who wrote me and said, thank you. It was the church that wrote me and said, shame on you. So I actually had some discontent, but it was unpredictable in terms of where it came from. It was the unexpected compliment from the left, if you will, the progressive atheist who recognized this monster turning around to bite him. But it was the church who said, oh, you were too harsh. You getting the same?
No. I have almost universal support from those on the right, either silence or grudging support on the left, and then some vocal opposition. I mean, those who are wedded to the social justice view of the world where all white people are horrible, capitalism is evil, America is awful. I mean, for them, the Evergreen is a beachhead, right? And they don't want to give it up, right?
Representative, you have been...
never gonna go away.
Refreshing. Bless you, and thank you for leading and taking a stand. It's my industry, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Thanks a bunch for joining us on Washington.
Thank you, and I appreciate your letter.
Thank you. All right. Remember, the call-in number is 866-372-7234. I'm going to be taking calls in the next segment. We're going to be talking about any of the things we've discussed thus far, and we may even talk about whether or not the devil is real. Could be right back after this break.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm
Ryan DeFrates. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrates' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrates' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
It's summertime and the kids are out of school. Unfortunately, that means more screen time. 1 Million Moms wants to help keep your family safe. Join 1 Million Moms to stay current on any new TV series or commercials that might prove harmful. You can stay up to date with our action alerts as a heads up and as a way to let your voice be heard. Sign up, speak up, 1MillionMoms.com.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples. And you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sights we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th. And we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see, you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
Welcome back. It's Friday evening, going into the top of the hour, the last 15 minutes or so of Washington Watch, here with the Family Research Council. My name is Dr. Everett Piper. I'm the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. No, obviously not Tony Perkins. He's taking a break this evening, and I'm honored to be pinch hitting for him. Call-in number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. I do welcome your calls. Hang on a bit. If you have to wait, the producers will navigate that for you. I've got one caller, but I'm just going to give some introduction before I bring this person on the line. I want to talk a little bit more about the last story, this situation at Evergreen State University in Oregon, that we actually have a day where a certain group of people, by virtue of the color of their skin, are told not to come on campus. They're not welcome, to the point where there was a concern over their safety if they did. One professor, not a conservative Christian, a very liberal, progressive professor, spoke out and said, this is not what intellectual liberty is all about. This is not consistent with the classical liberal arts tradition. This is not consistent with us being a university where we stand for unity rather than division. And we should not engage in segregation. We should be proud about our efforts to integrate. That particular professor, because he's white, he's Jewish, was actually threatened. And the police, the security staff of the university, actually told him that he should probably stay off campus for fear of his safety. We've actually digressed to the point where we can have people do this at our state-funded, tax-funded colleges and universities across the land. Harvard University had a separate commencement for black students. Again, this is not integration. This is bold, unapologetic segregation. I would argue that you don't fight racism. You don't fight racism by being a racist. You don't fight intolerance by being intolerant. You don't conquer hate by being hateful. You don't double down on evil and expect goodness. You don't multiply injustice by fighting it with more injustice and expect to see a just result. I'm president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, not president of Oklahoma Wesleyan Diversity, and there's a reason for that. It's because we celebrate the unity of Veritas, the unity that comes through pursuing truth, not the division, not the diversity and the segregation. We are integrationists. We don't teach victimization because we know that when you do, it ultimately digresses to vengeance, not virtue, but vice, every time. We believe that if there is no truth, a measuring rod outside of those things being measured, that you can do no measuring, to quote C.S. Lewis, and that Lady Justice is blind for a reason, because she knows she isn't supposed to put her thumb on the scale. Because if she does, the weight is unjust. The measurement is unjust. Where there is no truth, there's always tyranny. And only, in my judgment, only the history of the biblical worldview has solved this problem, because it's the biblical worldview that says human beings are ultimately free. They ultimately have dignity. They're the imago Dei. Every human being has dignity in the image of God. And that image, arguably, I would say, is the thumbprint of God on every human mind, every human soul, that gives us the ability to engage in a good, robust argument and exchange of ideas. We're rational. We're not animals. We're not the imago dog. We're rational human beings. We're the imago Dei. Sandy from Missouri, I think you're waiting for me out there. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. We listen to you often over here at our house.
Well,
I just find it awfully strange that James Comey, he just apparently doesn't pay much attention. I mean, he didn't notice Obama making the nuke deal with the very people they tell us took down our towers. He didn't notice him, the IRS targeting conservatives, or, I mean, there's like a list of some people have 25 and some people have 74. I mean, he didn't notice Obama illegally conducting surveillance on the American people. Anyway, I just.
Well, thank you, Sandy. Sandy, thank you for calling in. I think your concern is legitimate. Whether you're a never-Trumper or whether you're a pro-Trumper and you're out there listening as a conservative Christian listener, which I assume almost all of you are in one of those two categories, if not both, I think we need to be objective in the way we evaluate the news, whether it be James Comey or Donald Trump or Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, or the list goes on and on. I think the obligation of the conservative is to conserve truth, conserve the time-tested principles that have endured through the course of human history, those things that have been tested by time, confirmed by reason, validated by experience, and revealed to us through Scripture and through the natural law of God. Our obligation, as if you're a bold conservative, if you believe in those things, I would argue you're a conservationist and you believe in conserving those things that matter. And one of the things that conservatives should believe in conserving is truth, is integrity. And when you see James Comey, I don't know how you describe it any other way other than manipulating the situation via a lack of integrity, as Congressman Gohmert described to us, where he's leaking information that's in violation of his very contract. In other words, he's violating his word. He put his name on the dotted line and he agreed to a set of principles by virtue of position, and then he violated his code of conduct. What I do with students at Oklahoma Wesleyan University when they violate their honor code, when they violate their code of conduct, is we confront them. They suffer the consequences for it because we assume that's real life, and that when you break your word, when you lack integrity, there will be consequences that follow, and we're going to teach you at Oklahoma Wesleyan University to deal with it now rather than suffer those consequences out in the quote-unquote real world when you get fired, when you get divorced, when you have all these terribly negative consequences that implode upon you when you lack integrity. And that's my major issue as an objective umpire watching the game, calling strikes and calling balls. I say Mr. Comey just broke his word. It's an objective fact. He broke his honor code by disclosing this information. And if you're going to do that, it causes me to be suspicious of what it is that you have in play. I've got another caller right now. Producer, can you tell me who that was again? Jeff from Mississippi. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
Jeff, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am.
Welcome to Washington Watch.
I just had a brief comment based on the idea of no white folks on that college campus.
Yeah.
For a day. I'm wondering, perhaps, could we get a group of people and paint ourselves like maybe, you know, if you've ever heard of the Blue Man group, it's a music group where they paint themselves all blue and maybe wear T-shirts like One Human Race, All Lives Matter, and visit on the next time they have a No White Folks Day?
Well, that's an interesting idea. Interesting idea, Jeff. I get your point, and that is that the human race is one race. We shouldn't be judging people by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. MLK himself made that the premise, his key premise of his civil rights movement. And to abandon that seems to be antithetical to everything that MLK and the civil rights movement stood for. Everything that they called for was for integration and to stop the segregation. Everything they called for was to confront racism, the angry face of racism, and call for Christian charity, i.e. love, to replace anger and vengeance. But again, I'm going back to what I've said 1,000 times over on this program and in op-eds and everything else I've written, that when you teach victimization, decade in and decade out, there's going to be a very obvious consequence of teaching victimization. It is going to be vengeance. Because victimization implies that somebody owes you, that there's a pound of flesh that's due to you, that you have the right to be righteously indignant and to rise up and to squash the oppressor because you've been victimized. In other words, it's a focus on self rather than a focus on others. And didn't Jesus tell us the first shall be last and the last shall be first? So the emphasis on victimization is opposite to Christ's teaching. Jesus didn't say focus on your own victimization. He said the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And it's only when we reverse the equation and talk about that truth, that veritas, that virtue, that we will break the angry cycle of victimization. Again, this is Everett Piper, 866-372-7234. Sadie in Georgia, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello?
Sadie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, doctor, I wanted to talk about, I pray that they'll get that wall put up down there on that Mexican border where they can quit getting that stuff coming into our country. I hope they can get that wall. And also, I wanted to speak about Comey. Comey, I think, really lied about our president. I'm glad that he fired him because I think he should have been fired because he didn't need to be in that position there because he's just not up to it.
Well, thank you, Sadie. Appreciate you calling in. Again, I'll repeat what I said in an earlier call. Sadie, I think all of us should be willing to call balls and strikes regardless of the political party or the person in play. And if Donald Trump does something right, if you're a never-Trumper, I would argue you should compliment him for doing something right. If you were a staunch advocate of Donald Trump and he's done something wrong, then call a spade and say so. That's what integrity calls upon. And I agree with your judgment of James Comey. If he is expecting people to make fair and just judgments, then he needs to present his evidence in a fair and just way. And when he compromises the entire process by breaking his integrity, breaking his contract, violating his word, demonstrating that he's willing to say, I'll do X, but when the chips are down, nah, I really didn't mean it. I'm going to now do Y. We all know that that's why we disrespect so much of the political process is we catch people doing that all the time. And we've called it obfuscation. We've called it shading the truth. We need to call it what it is. It's just bold-faced lying. Whenever you don't tell the truth, there's a word for it. It's a lie. And I think you're right. That's what James Comey has been caught in. Leanne from Oklahoma, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Piper. I'm happy to be calling and talking to a fellow Oklahoman. And I am also a fellow university employee and have been fortunate in my role as such to really be able to speak the truth. I'm in the hard sciences, not the social sciences, and so I can get away probably with a lot more than what maybe people in other fields can because it aligns with biological facts. So I'm sort of giving a comment and an encouragement in that way. But my question is more as the mother of three children and trying to figure out where we send our university dollars, because I fear that this is indeed an epidemic. And is that the only way that we as parents can confront these ideas that are being perpetuated to the next generation? Is just simply keep our dollar, you know, investigate and only send our dollars to places where this isn't happening? Because, like I said, I feel that's getting fewer and fewer.
Well, I feel like I need to pay you for asking that question, Leanne. Thank you so much. I'm going to sound self-serving in my answer, but I'm going to go for it here. We need to stop sending our kids off to these institutions that teach this pablum, point blank. Why would we think that after raising up our children for 18 years in the way they should go, that when we send them off to an institution of X, Y, or Z, that in the first 18 minutes as you're driving away from campus on new student orientation weekend, they take pride in tearing down everything you tried to teach your son or daughter in those first 18 years? And parents are doing it time and time again. I may be offending some of you, but I'm very passionate about this. This is my industry. I know what I'm talking about. The college and university system in the United States is taking pride in perpetuating the moral nihilism of postmodernity. How many times have you heard your kids say this? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you. How many times have you heard your kids or a professor or a teacher say, I don't want to be guilty of judging anyone? That who am I to judge? Well, this is nonsense. Of course you're going to judge. Aren't you going to judge Pol Pot for being wrong? Aren't you going to judge Mao and Mussolini for being wrong? Aren't you going to say to Hitler, it does matter what you believe. I don't care what works for you. Your ideas are evil. Your ideas are wrong. The point that is obvious in the human existence is there are good ideas and there are bad ideas. I've quoted Richard Weaver before on this program. He wrote a 1948 seminal work, and he titled it Ideas Have Consequences. And his point was this. Ideas have consequences. They bear fruit. Good ideas bear good culture, good community, good government, and good kids. And bad ideas bear the exact opposite. Bad culture, bad community, bad government, and bad kids. And we've been teaching lousy ideas decade after decade in our colleges and universities, and then somehow we're surprised when they come home on Thanksgiving break and they're the exact opposite human being with the exact opposite morals and values that we thought we sent off to that institution a few short months later. And no, this is not hyperbolic and an exaggeration. The data shows that 70% of our students, of our 18 to 21-year-olds that we send off to the university, 70% of them that were churched, that's the language that's used in the data analysis, churched, they grew up in the church, their parents took them to church, whether they were born again or not, I do not know, but they were churched. 70% of our kids that were churched abandoned their faith by the time they're in their junior year of college. Why? It's because they're bombarded, they're harassed with the propaganda of postmodernity. That anything that smacks of a Judeo-Christian ethic, of a biblical worldview, is to be mocked and ridiculed, and the only ideas that are acceptable at this university are the modern in vogue ideas that are embraced by the left, by the progressives. It's self-infatuation, it's worship of self, it's narcissism, it's self-absorption, and we're paying our money to send our kids there. So the answer is yes, send your kids to an institution that believes in truth rather than one that mocks it. This is Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. I'd be happy to have you check us out. Also author of Not a Daycare, that's being published by Regnery in just a few weeks. Go buy it. It talks about this and the solutions that I've described. I've been delighted to join you this afternoon on Washington Watch. Perhaps I'll join you again in the next couple weeks. Take on the weekend and remember, who is going to have the victory? It's he that keeps fighting the good fight for Christ and his kingdom.
Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line, at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.